March 11th, a portentous date in any year. Not quite winter and not yet spring. The blizzard of 1888 began on this date, a wild, cosmic mocking of the warm sun that had shone down on the east 2 days before. March 11th, 1962, today, snow, deep and uncongenial, lies thick over the Rockies. A still bitter wind whips along Michigan Boulevard. But the change is coming, deep down stirrings in the earth, subtle and silent. And a year ago tonight, the same conspiracy was afoot. 5 years ago, it was the same. 12 years. 12 years ago tonight, March 11th it was, 1950. Snow fell that night over the northern Great Lakes. There was a chilly wind in the Ohio and upper Mississippi valleys. But spring was on the way. The New York Times for that date advertised women's sailor hats. Straw they were, and just the thing for Easter. You could get one with rayon velvet facing for $19.95. If you wanted a garland of fruit, it cost $25. Lightweight wool suits were recommended for teenage girls. Short jacket, buttons down the front. There were cuffed sleeves and a nipped-in waist that flared slightly over the skirt. Winter wheat was growing green in the fertile belt that stretches northward from the Black Sea to the Ukraine. And Soviet Premier Molotov said that day that the Russian people would not be frightened by the threat of a hydrogen bomb because, in his words, it does not exist. And in this country, we were hearing a new name and a new voice, a harsh, accusing voice. It belonged to the junior senator from Wisconsin. His name was Joseph R. McCarthy.
This individual was employed in March 1944 as division assistant in the Division of Internal Security. The House Un-American Activities Committee advised on August 18, 1947, that an admitted former Communist Party member was formerly associated with this individual in communist activities in Washington, D.C. This individual's husband admitted having been a member of the Communist Party. The husband now has a highly confidential position with the Navy Department.
We would hear that voice frequently as the year rolled through spring and the cherry blossoms leapt into bloom along the basin in Washington. And one day, March gave way to April, and May came, and we all settled back for the warm, lazy days. The easeful time when all worries can be put off till tomorrow under the new returned benediction of the sun. But it wouldn't be that way. Not that year. Early in the morning of June 24th, the Republic of Korea was invaded by over 60,000 North Korean troops, moving southward behind a spearhead of over 100 Russian-built tanks. In New York, in the huge, many-windowed building overlooking the East River, the United Nations Security Council met in hasty assembly.
The attack upon Korea makes it plain, beyond all doubt, that communism has passed beyond the use of subversion to conquer independent nations, and will now use armed invasion and war. It has defied the orders of the Security Council of the United Nations issued to preserve international peace and security. In these circumstances, the occupation of Formosa by communist forces would be a direct threat to the security of the Pacific area and to United States forces performing their lawful and necessary functions in that area.
On the 30th of June, 6 days after the North Koreans had swarmed over the border, United States ground forces entered the war. It was not an easy decision to make. President Truman had made many hard decisions. None, one suspects, harder than this.
We face a serious situation. We hope we face it in the cause of peace. The only reason for the action, which was taken on advice of all the brains that I could muster, was hoping, always hoping, that we'll finally arrive at the peace in the world which we anticipated when we created the United Nations. That's the only reason for the action.
And so we went to war again. But this one was different somehow. It was almost as if this generation had become inured to war, that the last one had given us a tolerance to death and horror. Even those who were there made jokes about it. Here's the Army radio in Korea.
Tonight, we'd like you to relax to the sweetest music this side of Yokohama. But first, a brief word from our sponsor.
Do you know in what type of boots those men are marching? Why, the new Fearless combat boot.
Oh, Roman, don the Ginza in me Fearless combat boots. Roman, don the Ginza with me girlfriend, lovely Toots. With me boots shined up so bright, never loose or never tight. I'll tell you, man, they're very inexpensive.
Fearless combat boots with built-in knife and compass are available at your local supply room or neighborhood PX.
At this time, I'd like to ask the president of the Fearless Bank of Korea to stand up and give the financial report on our branch bank over in Taejon. Sir, are the assets frozen and chosen? And if not, how much do we have, sir?
I've got sixpence, jolly, jolly sixpence.
It was an odd war, stern enough for those who did the fighting, and there would be a new list of names to be added to the roll call of Gettysburg and Belleau Wood and Guadalcanal. Names like Porkchop Hill, Mig Alley, the Iron Triangle. But for most of us back home, the war remained a thing remote and unreal. Ladies' straw hats for 1995, baseball games reported on the front pages of evening papers, and the hit song that year was almost aggressively pointless and juvenile.
How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that doggie is for sale.
March 11th, 1950, March 11th, 1962, and each of us has a rendezvous with another spring. Deep stirrings under the earth tonight, the sun rising just a little higher each day and lingering just a little longer. And 12 years from now, we can look back at this spring and know surely what we cannot know tonight, what was chaff and what was wheat, where we were wise and wherein foolish. The scene is the International Ballroom at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Hollywood. The guest of honor is Bob Hope, invited there to receive the 10th Annual Milestone Award of the Screen Producers Guild, presented because of his enormous contributions in visiting and entertaining at Army and Navy bases around the world. It all started when Frank Sinatra stepped up to the podium.
Can I interest anyone in a hot engagement ring? It's really why I came here tonight, you know. Being a toastmaster, so to speak, is kind of new to me. I've never done this before. And for a while, I intended to call it off, but having called off a couple of other things, I thought I'd better show somewhere else because I'd get touchy. Now, to the business of the evening, ladies and gentlemen. My first happy duty is to bring to you a gentleman whose vocation is a little bit more important than ours at the moment, particularly a general of the forces of the United States. He is the Commander-in-Chief of the Strategic Air Command, General Thomas S. Power.
I am privileged to speak to you on behalf of all the armed forces in expressing to you, Bob Hope, our sincere appreciation for your many contributions to our defense effort. There is no adequate way to reward your 20 years of personal sacrifices and dedicated effort in presenting morale-building entertainment to our men on the far-flung outposts of our defense establishment. All I can say is that we are deeply indebted and truly grateful.
Undrafted. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah?
Hello, Bob?
Yes?
This is Air Force Sergeant Joe Grunewald at Thule Air Base in Greenland. You know, Bob, it's almost 2 a.m. Monday morning here at Air Defense Command's northernmost outpost, and it's a cool 21 degrees below zero.
Yeah?
We call to congratulate you on behalf of all of us here at Thule for the tribute being paid you this evening. We want to extend another thank you for the fine show you staged here for us last December 28th. Again, congratulations, Bob.
Thank
you. Not only all of us here at Thule and in Air Defense Command, but all the men and women of the U.S. Air Force.
You're kidding, huh? Were you in the lobby?
It's Thule Air Base Greenland, Bob.
You're kidding.
No?
You call and collect? Huh?
No, you won't be charged at all.
Say, that's really wonderful. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome, Bob.
We had a great time and enjoyed it very much.
Goodbye, Bob, and lots of luck.
Yeah, hello?
Hello, Bob?
Yeah.
This is Master Sergeant Paul Lorent from Waukegan, Illinois. I'm now serving with the 1st Battle Group, 23rd Infantry, Fort Richardson, Alaska. That's where I'm talking from right now. We want to join with the three producers, Guild, and thanking you for your many trips overseas. Most of us up here still remember your trip in 59. And
thank
those
you.
Who don't still remember your shows in Korea, Europe, and other places around the world. Bob, right now it's 2 minutes after 8 up here, and the days are getting longer, and spring seems to be in the air. Right now it's about 15 above.
Swell.
Want to say thanks again for all you've done for us in the past.
I appreciate it very much. Keep your flap closed.
We look forward to seeing you again in the future sometime. Think you can make it?
Yes, sir.
Good night from Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you. Appreciate the call very, very much.
Sure thing.
Right. Yeah? Hello?
Hello, Bob?
Yes.
I'm Master Sergeant Willie Thomas, and Face Sergeant for Company F-40 Obama here in Berlin.
Berlin?
I'm glad I have this chance to congratulate you on receiving the Screen Producers Guild's Milestone Award. You certainly deserve it.
Thank you.
You have a lot of fans in the Army, not only among the young soldiers, but among the old-timers as well. They remember how much you have been putting out to entertain American troops overseas since the beginning of World War II. We're right behind you here in West Berlin, and I'll bet you even have your quota of fans behind the wall on the other side of the city.
Oh, let's not look, huh?
The wall affects Bob Hope, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Right.
My best to you.
Thank you very much.
The President of the United States from Washington, D.C.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. By this time, your guest of honor, Bob Hope, has heard expressions of appreciation from the men and women of the armed forces in the air, on the sea, and from some of the remote outposts of the world. He has always been generous and enthusiastic in giving his talent and organizing the talents of many others in the motion picture and entertainment world as a contribution to the morale of our fighting men. I can warmly add a hearty well done to their expressions of appreciation. I would also like to congratulate the Screen Producers Guild on their selecting Bob for their significant honor, the Milestone Award. This is a fine tribute from the motion picture industry to his talent and to the standards he has set as a distinguished American public figure. Most Americans are familiar with Bob Hope movies On the Road to Morocco, The Road to Utopia, and all the other road shows that he's produced. I suppose after receiving this award tonight, he will be seriously considering another, The Road to Washington. I can tell him from my own personal experience that this will not be the easiest road on which he's ever traveled. But he will have a chance to visit his money, at least what's left of it. We wish him well, and all of you. Thank you, and good night.
We'll return to the Screen Producers Guild dinner in just 60 seconds. First, this matter of business. You're on the monitor beacon. As we were saying, the Screen Producers Guild 10th Annual Milestone Award Dinner in Hollywood. Bob Hope, guest of honor. Now, Jack Benny was there, and Frank Sinatra introduced him this way.
When we think of music, we first think of the violin, which there is a divinity of threes. Fritz Kreisler, Yasha Heifetz, and Jack Benny. Mr. Jack Benny.
I got a long-distance call tonight from my uncle in Haifa, who wants $100. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are paying tribute to one of the two leading comedians in America. I mean, it's a flat statement. You can take it or leave it. I appreciate the way you're taking it. I must say that I just barely made the dinner myself. I just got back yesterday from a month's tour of Israel bomb drives and March of Dimes dinners and three concerts. And at one of the concerts, I replaced Isaac Stern. My replacing Isaac Stern is like promising her Arpège and giving her Vigoro. That's a wonderful thing. But this affair tonight is a wonderful tribute to our guest of honor. You know, in the past years, I've tried to do a job, like many, many entertainers and comedians, by entertaining troops all over the world and doing a lot of benefits. But I am positive, if it hadn't been for Bob Hope, I doubt how much work we would have done. He absolutely blazed the trail for all of us. And through Bob, we've got more entertainers, more comedians, more actors and actresses go out and do a job that they never would have done, even though they might have wanted to, if it hadn't been for Bob Hope. And I think, as I mentioned before, that this milestone dinner tonight is certainly merited and well-deserved. And Bob, I want to wish you continued success, which I know you'll have, and health. And I hope that you'll be able to do the things you're doing now for many, many years to come. Thank you.
Our next speaker, ladies and gentlemen, is a great champion in our industry, in the sense of doing one great performance after another, after another, after another, through the many, many years. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Stewart.
Thank you, Frank. Every year, the Screen Producers Guild presents the Milestone Award for, well, let's see what it is for here. For his historic contribution to the motion picture. Now, traditionally, this award always goes to a producer, but tonight it's going to an actor. A ski-nosed gentleman who started out telling wisecracks in front of a pool hall in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, now, his pictures are shown all over the world. His presence is known everywhere. He circled the globe more times than Colonel Glenn, and at a pace almost as fantastic as Colonel Glenn's. And in the stops that he's made on these trips around the world, his charm and his wit and his intelligence have brought great reflected glory to the motion picture industry. He's our ambassador. He's our diplomat beyond compare. Now, there are a lot of people, many people in this room tonight with great talent. There are many people who have made giant contributions, and I think it's a tribute to this man that there's just one nomination. We're not going to have any opening envelopes. I think it's a tribute to the man that we applaud, not because it's time to applaud, but because we just can't help ourselves. And it's a great pleasure for me to present the Milestone Award to Bob Hope.
James, thank you, guests of the dais, ladies and gentlemen, General Power. I don't know what to say. It's been just a very emotional evening for me. It's been a thrilling evening. But I really appreciate it all, and I believed every word of the speech, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Stewart, I believed all of your applause. I may be psycho, but I'm happy. Now, you know, the last time I got an award from the motion picture industry was for going on television, and I'm thrilled to be here to get this. But I think I'm entitled to this in a way. I've done about as much for pictures as President Kennedy has for hats. And actually, I don't have to tell you about my movie career. The Late Show has such a big mouth. I figured that was one of my big kids, you know? But it's good to see Jimmy Stewart here. I don't have to tell you how I love him. You all know Jimmy, Walter Brennan's son. He's the best thing that's happened to our armed forces since Elvis got out. And I'm delighted the way Frank has emceed this dinner. It's hard to believe that only last week he was a chorus boy on the Judy Garland show. Now, I'm thrilled to see him here. He seems to be a little shy about showing up for ceremonies. The engagement's off and he's going to resume testing, but imagine Frankie giving up Juliet and the helicopter. Maybe he is settling down. You know, the thing I like about Frank is that success hasn't spoiled him. He was spoiled before. He's still the same warm, humble man that he was before he had his own president. Be nice to him. You may all be drafted. I want to thank General Power of the Strategic Air Command for the wonderful things he said about me, and I'm glad he got him out before he was muzzled. That could happen. But I just want to close. I want to say that this has been, without a doubt, I have played so many, many affairs, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know how lucky a guy can get to have this many friends show up. I feel very good about it. I really do. I'm just thrilled about it. You know, a lot of people say that I give, you know, my time. I don't feel that way. I've had so much fun. I feel I'm not a giver at all. I feel like a beneficiary. I've traveled around the world, and I've told a few jokes, which I like to do. I've heard a few laughs. I like to hear those. And I've tossed out a few crumbs. You know, I wound up with a whole bakery. And you know, if Aladdin would just show up right now with his lamp, about the only thing I could ask for would be a new golf swing. Thank you very much.
Bob Hope of Alaska, Greenland, and the islands of the Pacific. And if I may take a phrase from him, he never left home. For these highlights, Monitor wishes to thank the Screen Producers Guild and the American Federation of Musicians.